I invite your reading to the your attention to the reading of our scripture. Two passages, first in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter and the 35th verse. The second is the first epistle of John, the 2nd chapter, and we shall begin reading with the 15th verse. The Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then in the epistle of John, his first epistle, the 2nd chapter, the 15th verse. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the pride in his pride in possessions, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a promise that you and I, or a truth that you and I need to remember this morning, and it is this. Prayer is our connecting link with God. It is the experience by which we come into the full realization of who God created us to be. You see, to pray is to come into the very presence of the Lord God Almighty. We come to worship Him. We come to rest in Him. We come to share our lives with Him. But you know, when we come to pray, we are also coming into His presence for Him to share His life with us. We are coming for Him to love us. We are coming for Him to provide for our needs. We are coming for Him to release His supernatural power that changes our lives and makes us whole. That's the truth that the disciples recognized as they lived with Jesus, particularly as they listened to Him pray. And that's why they asked one day, "Lord, teach us how to pray." We have been looking at the instructions that Jesus gave His disciples. We've been doing that because we too want to know how to pray. Well, this is what we have seen so far. First, we are to pray to our Father in heaven. We are to magnify, to glorify, to exalt His name. We have come to recognize that we are the children of a King, that we live in the kingdom of God. And indeed, we know that we are living in the kingdom of God when we live in His righteousness and His peace and His joy. Well, now this morning we come to look at the fourth petition in the prayer, and it is this: "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let me tell you the truth. Jesus not only instructed us to pray for God's will to be done, that was His desire also, that God's will be done in His life. Thumb through the gospel record for a moment and see. There was a day when Jesus and His disciples were passing through Samaria, and they stopped at a well. Happened to be Jacob's well. But Jesus sent the disciples into the village to buy food, and He stayed there to rest. The scriptures tell us that He was tired. And while the disciples were away, a woman from the village came to draw water, and Jesus had an opportunity to minister to her. Later, the disciples returned with their food and urged Jesus to eat. And Jesus said, "I have food that you don't know about." These disciples were puzzled, and they wondered, who brought him food? And Jesus answered their question, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. There was another time when Jesus was teaching the multitudes of people, and he was sharing with them his purpose for coming. He summed it all up when he said, I have come not to do my will, but the will of my Father who sent me. And then right near the end, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The shadow of the cross had almost reached its full length, and Jesus and his disciples had gone there to pray. And we are told that while they prayed, that his sweat came like great drops of blood. You see, at that moment, there opened for Jesus the reality of the cross. And all of a sudden, he saw everything that it meant for him to become sin in our place, for him to die on the cross to pay the debt for our sins and to satisfy divine justice, and for him to have his Father to turn his face away. And in the agony of that moment, Jesus cried, let this cup pass from me. You see, what he really meant was this. Father, I don't want to do that. I do not want to die on that cross. If you can find some other way to save mankind, will you do it? However, his love for us was so great, he continued, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, over and over, Jesus reminds us that he has come not to do his will, but to do the will of his Father. Everywhere he went, everything he said, everything he did, it was to fulfill the will of the Father who had sent him. But you know, not only did Jesus desire to do the will of the Father, that is his desire for you and me also. That's why he instructs us when we pray, we are to do it like this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In light of that, I want you to listen to John as he speaks to us in the scripture we read this morning. The man who does the will of God lives forever. Man, that is an incredible promise. And because it is true, every one of us wants to know and do the will of God. But this is our problem. How do we know what God wants us to do? Look at your life. The relationships you're in, the work you do, the plans you make, the commitments that are yours, the way you spend your leisure time. Are you doing these things because you know that is God's will for you? Or have the circumstances of your life brought you into them without any plan or meeting or meaning? You know, if doing the will of God guarantees that we live eternally, and that is certainly a fact, then how do we know what God wants us to do? How can we determine his will? You know, there are three steps in knowing the will of God. Let me share them with you. First step in knowing the will of God is this. We must listen to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. How many times has this happened with the people of God? Let me give you two examples from the early church. That was the church in Antioch. It was the church where the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. One day that congregation had come together, and we are told that they were worshiping God and fasting. And while they did that, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and he spoke, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Well, they continued worshiping for a while and fasting, and then in obedience to the Holy Spirit, they laid their hands on those two men and prayed over them and sent them out. And because that church listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit and was obedient to it, Paul began his missionary journey. The missionary journeys that would change the face of the church and bring the Gentile world into the family of God. But now it was later in Paul's life. He is on his second missionary journey. On that journey he had gone through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia. And we are told that the Spirit of God kept him from preaching the Word of God there. He came down to Mizar and tried to go up into Bithynia. We are told that the Holy Spirit did not permit him. And finally, Paul comes to Troas and he waits. That night, he had a vision. And in the vision, God, through his Holy Spirit, spoke to Paul. And we hear the man crying from Macedonia, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And Paul knew that that was the voice of God speaking to him. He obeyed his voice. He went to Macedonia, preached the gospel, and from there the gospel was spread into Europe, and the whole course of history has been changed. You see, that's also the first step for you and me in knowing the will of God. We must listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, God will speak to us. He reveals himself to us, and he shows us the way. But that's not the whole story. The second step in knowing the will of God is that when God does speak to us through his Holy Spirit, the word he speaks will not be in conflict with the word of God. Let me remind you, a good bit of God's will for us he has already revealed in his word. Did you know that there are some things you don't even need to ask him about because he has already told you? For example, there's no question about sexual fidelity. God has already spoken his will about that and made that plain. There's no question about forgiving a person who has hurt you and done you wrong. God has already spoken his will about that and made it plain. There's no question about ministering to those who are in need. God has already spoken his will about that and made it plain. There's no question about giving God first place in our lives. God has already spoken his will about that and made it plain. On many issues, God has already spoken his will, made it perfectly clear as he speaks to us through the word of God. But then there are other times that he speaks to us through the inner voice of his Holy Spirit. And this is where you and I are in danger of missing the Lord. You see, sometimes we believe that God has spoken by the inner voice of his Holy Spirit. And that arouses our emotions, and we want to act on our emotions. But then we remember that we do not live by emotions. We live by faith. A faith that is confirmed by the word of God. You take your feelings, no matter how good they are, no matter how strong they are, if they are in conflict with the word of God, then you have missed him. See, God will speak to us by the inner witness of his Holy Spirit. But when he speaks, that word will be confirmed by the word of God. And then we can follow him without any reservation. The third step in knowing the will of God is this. We must be willing to do the will of God. I think that's why Jesus instructed us to pray, "Your will be done on earth, just like it's done in heaven." Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want God's will done in your life every time? Sometimes? When it pleases you and benefits you? A number of years ago, I was the pastor of Rinalda Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. One day, a search committee from the First Presbyterian Church in Florence, South Carolina, contacted me about becoming their pastor. I didn't want to go to Florence. Not because that was not a good church. It was a good church. But I was at home at Rinalda. I'd been there for 14 years. These folks were family. Man, we had grown up together spiritually. The Lord was doing a good work there, and there is much more work to be done. And I wanted to stay. And every day I came before the Lord, and I said, "Lord, would you show me what you want me to do?" And I was desperately trying to hear him say, "Do not go to Florence. Stay at Rinalda." And one day as I prayed and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He spoke. And he said, "Do not ask me that question again." He said, I have already told you what I want you to do. The question is, will you obey me? You see, my problem was not knowing the will of God. My problem was, I didn't want to go. But my desire to be in the will of God is so overwhelming, I went to Florence. And the abundance of God's blessings in my life have been unbelievable since that time. Let me ask you, are there times in your life when you know what God wants you to do and you do not want to do it? Is God pleased with the way you are living right now? Or are there some things in your life He would want you to do differently? See, it does not do any good for us to know the will of God unless we are willing to obey Him. He speaks His will, and when we are willing to obey Him, a bounty of His blessings overflow our lives. Well, Jesus said one more thing. He said, pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you imagine God's will has not been done in heaven? I can think of only one time. You remember the story? Isaiah records it in his prophecy. It's referred to in a couple of the New Testament books. But this is a story. There was the angel named Lucifer. He was one of God's angels in heaven. He was known as the morning star, the shining one. But Lucifer was not happy with his position in heaven, and he wanted to be like the Most High God. And so Lucifer started a war. Lucifer and the angels who followed him had a war with Michael and the angels who followed him. Michael and his angels won, and Lucifer and his angels were thrown out of heaven. And as a result of that war, Lucifer became known as Satan, and the angels who followed him became... Sin came into the world. You see, and because the will of God was not done just this one time, there was a war, and we are in a mess. Let me remind you, that any time we are not in the will of God, there is a war and we're in a mess. That's true in our lives individually. That's true in the life of Central Church. That is true in our world. Any time we are not living according to the Word of God, there is turmoil and conflict and war, and we cannot be the people that God created us to be. We come into His presence. We come to share our lives with Him, and we permit Him to share His life with us. And Jesus says, when you come, this is the way to pray. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you pray that and mean it? If you cannot, a war will take place and your life will be a mess. If you pray it and obey it, you will know the bounty of God's provision and blessing in your life. Father, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven.